Grandstand and Stumps.
ABC Grandstand.
The Ashes.
And welcome to our recap of another eventful day in the opening test of the 2015 Ashes series at Sophia Gardens in Cardiff. Day two, though, belonged to England. It stumps Australia 5 for 264 in reply to England's 430. Watson is on 29, night watchman Nathan Lyon on 6. Moeen Ali claiming the key wickets of Steve Smith and Michael Clarke, and Chris Rogers falling just 5 runs short of a century to now hold a record of having posted 7 consecutive test 50s without converting any to 100. Karen Tai with you. Coming up in this podcast, the highlights and interviews with Chris Rogers and Moeen Ali. But first, with his views of the day, Jim Maxwell.
This test match is moving quickly. 794 runs have been scored over 2 days for the loss of 15 wickets. England have an advantage with Australia 5 for 264 in reply to their 430. The day began excitedly for English fans because Moeen Ali threw the bat at a lot of balls and connected. He was eventually out to Stark, who finished with 5 for 114, and Moeen Ali made 77. In Australia's reply, Warner was caught brilliantly by Cook off Anderson at slip for 17. But the freewheeling Rogers played superbly, 11 fours and 1 6, and he was within sight of another Test 100 when he nicked to Butler from Wood for 95. It was a superb innings. And around him, Smith and Clarke made starts, but Smith, attempting to take on Moeen Ali's spin, miscued to Cook at short mid-on, and then Clarke, in similar fashion, going down the ground and driving hard, hit a return catch to Moeen Ali, and he was out for 38. Voges and Watson had to deal with some very good length bowling, particularly from Jimmy Anderson. There was a hint of reverse movement. The pitch is still very slow, hard to play shots on, but there was more discipline about England's bowling than the wayward Australian attack on the opening day. So they've chiselled 5 wickets out here for 264 runs. The advantage is still 166 to England, so a lot more work to do with Watson 29 and Lyon on 6. The forecast is good for the next few days, maybe some rain on Sunday, but the rate at which this match is moving indicates we could well get a result. But the pitch may not change in character. If it doesn't, a draw is the main possibility.
You're listening to the best of Grandstand's coverage of the cricket.
Grandstand Cricket.
On ABC Grandstand Digital.
Lovely day's cricket, and yesterday I think many of us thought England just edged it. Today it was definitely their day. It took off this morning with Moeen Ali playing splendidly, playing as he does, carefree, playing shots, pulling, hooking, driving gorgeously.
Beautiful
through
shot,
the colours.
Yeah.
Every time people bowl straight on this sort of surface, it's like rice pudding surface, I call it. It sucks the life out of anybody banging it in. Then they tease you with a wide ball. He creamed it through the covers elegantly, because he is an elegant stroke player for cover drive. Scoreboard rattled along, got England. I thought 400 was good. Up to 450 nearly is even better. And you're always in the game. Very rarely somebody gets 650 and puts you under trouble. You've got something to bowl at. And England, in England, with the Duke ball, with Anderson, a quality bowler, you've always got something to aim at. And so it turned out. When England started to bowl, I thought the most impressive thing about England's cricket was that they understood the surface far better than Australia. You could say, well, OK, you know, they played here more times, but they got it absolutely dead right.
The length particularly, I mean, that a little bit fuller. Yep.
Fuller, straighter.
Yep.
Don't keep banging it in. Yes, you give the batsman an odd surprise ball to let him not just come and prop forward all the time. So you try and surprise it, but that's what a short ball should be, shouldn't it? Mm. It should be a surprise ball. Even Anderson did one or two. Just one or two. You see, they just weren't able to, this straightish bowling, slowest pitch, men in the box on the drive, we call it. They're not comfortable with it. They're used to these hard pitches, ball coming on, can hit the ball through the line of the ball. Can't do that here. You've got to work hard for your runs, and it's a good pitch to bat on then, but you have to work hard. And I thought England got most of it right. and Australia got hardly anything right.
Jeff Boycott with his thoughts on day two. To the players now. First up, Australia's Chris Rogers. He's speaking here with Jim Maxwell.
You were freewheeling today. Why did you enjoy yourself so much out there? You were playing like David Gow.
Well, I don't know if I look like David Gow, but no, I think I started to get some rhythm with my feet and my weight, and then hit a few in the middle, and once you do that, the confidence tends to grow and grow. So I felt pretty good. Just disappointed, I guess, that I didn't really make it count.
How hard is it to bat on that slow pitch?
It can be hard, I think, because it's a bit too paced now. I think, particularly with the Adam Vogues dismissal, you saw it kick a little bit. So it's going to get harder and harder. But saying that, if you set your stall out and really happy to kind of bat for long times, then there still is that opportunity.
And the situation of the game, Mo and Ali's had a pretty good day with a couple of wickets and a dashing 77.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been an excellent day of Test cricket. Both teams are pushing hard at each other, and it's ebbing and flowing a little bit. And England might have the slight upper hand, but hopefully we can get a few more runs.
The difference between the two attacks, and Australia pitched up and bowled a few four balls, England pretty straight. Where does Australia need to lift its game when it bowls again?
Yeah, I mean, I think we probably over-attacked a little bit in England, particularly with the pace of our bowlers, the ball can just fly off the bat and race at the boundary so quickly over here. So that's what we need to be aware of and make sure we're still controlling the run rate. I think that's going to be important. So we didn't get it quite right in the first innings, but, we'll be better for it.
It looks like a couple of careless dismissals in Australia's performance today. Is that just because of the slow nature of the pitch?
It can be hard to judge that. Guys are still looking to be positive. I mean, that's our game plan, and sometimes it doesn't come off. So, you can't have it both ways. But I will say, I think, quite a few of us will be disappointed at our dismissal, and that probably hurts the most.
You were rushing towards 100. That's 295s in your last three test innings. Not bad, but was that what you were conscious of, trying to get on with it rather than get bogged down?
Sometimes you just get in a bit of a groove and you can be quite positive and I felt it was going my way and thought I'd keep going, but in hindsight I probably should have just got my head down and tried to grind it out for a lot longer, but it happened and I made a mistake, so we just got to move on.
If you keep scoring runs like this, you must reconsider what you're going to do after this series.
Who knows, I'm going to enjoy this for what it is, and I'll weigh it up at the end of the series.
Thanks, Chris.
Good on you, Jim. Cheers.
Now to the England camp and Moen Ali.
Moen, that was a great all-round day for you.
Yeah, it was all right. It was good.
It was all right.
Yeah, nice to get a score and to get the team in a position at 4:30, and then to get a couple of wickets was nice.
You knew what you had to do with the bat this morning, didn't you? The tail needed to support you.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they did. Brodie came in, we put a 50 partnership on, and then Woody as well. So we just tried to be aggressive and almost attack the Australians.
Aggressive. This mantra is still there, isn't it, after the one day, as you guys are still getting in there?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the best way to go. If in doubt, then take the aggressive option, I think. And the guys are doing that, and we all sort of backing it up. We had a great start yesterday with the bat, and for me, it was just about trying to make that great start into an even better start.
Were you happy with 4:30? Was that the kind of score you were looking at?
Yeah, I think so. I think first innings of an Ashes series, I think, is important. Not just that, just to also put the Australian bowlers under pressure a bit as well. It was the way we got 4:30, I think, was the most important thing.
And your two wickets, you got two very, very fine players.
Yeah, obviously top players, and just one of those days where it just happened for me today, and especially the two wickets. I mean, on another day, it could go the other way around.
Was there a particular plan to get Smith?
No, I mean, he's obviously a very aggressive player against spin, and after my first three balls, I almost went one day more against him because he likes to use his feet quite a lot, and I just thought, let me just try fire one down leg, and it worked.
You're claiming that one then?
Yeah.
You thought him out?
Not really. He's so quick on his feet, I just tried to bowl, tuck him up a little bit. He got himself into a mess in the end. It was his fault, really.
And Clark, that was a rasping caught and bowled. You drilled that one out, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, been doing a bit of work. Just stuck in, it's just instincts, really, and I just put my hands in the way and it stuck in.
He said modestly.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Are you bowling a particular way in this match or a particular way this season compared with last year when you got all those wickets?
No, I think I was bowling better last year, obviously, against the Indians. I felt like there was more control and stuff. I don't feel like it's quite there yet, but hopefully with overs under my belt, it'll come good.
Batting in at number 8, Handy Mount coming at number 8 has got a Test Match 100 last year.
Yeah, I mean, that was obviously last year. I think it's whatever's best for the team, and it's actually quite good because you end up facing a new ball quite a bit in the end, and I don't mind facing a new ball. You know, I'm kind of used to it at Worcester, so I think it's good for the team.
The game itself, do you reckon you're slightly ahead?
Slightly, yeah, I think so. I think they played really well today with Chris Rogers and stuff, so I think a couple of early wickets tomorrow will put them under pressure.
Second new ball's not far away.
Yeah, and that's obviously very important as well. I think the new ball is key on here. With the sun on the pitch, I think it makes it even harder. If there's a bit of overcast conditions, then it might swing a bit.
Is the pitch going to deteriorate, you think?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I think it might do a bit with the conditions, overhead conditions, but if the sun's out, I don't think it'll be too much.
You'd rather be in your position than Australia's, though, would you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like I said, a couple of early wickets tomorrow, the new ball around the corner as well, and then finish off the tail.
This is The Ashes.
The Ashes.
You're with Grandstand.
Stumps on day 2 at Sophia Gardens, Australia 5 for 264, trailing by 166. If you missed any of the action overnight, here are the highlights.
Hazelwood on his way, bowls to Broad, who drives down the ground. That'll be 4. Now that'll make him feel better. It was a pretty generous half volley. Hazelwood once more, past the umpire, bowls, and hits him. He ducked a ball there that really wasn't short enough, I don't think. He was anticipating the bouncer, and that again just betrays this lack of confidence that Broad has. He's tapping at the pitch, but he really shouldn't have been ducking that at all. And it hit him on the helmet.
It's almost LBW.
Runs up again, over the wicket, bowls, and Broad swung him away off his hip, out towards deep mid-wicket. And where's that gone? A long way, it's gone for 6. Gone for 6. It went miles in the air, took a long time to come down. And he's flicked that away off his hip. Over deep mid-wicket for 6.
That's more like it, Stewie Broad.
Johnson again, bowls full, finds the edge, but it's going to be runs. Won't please Mitchell Johnson very much. As the ball flies down towards third man, a fielder in hot pursuit. I think he's just taken the ball with him. There's a cheer, from a Welsh cheer down there. Broad on 11. Johnson goes in, bowls short, and he's fended that away. He's going to be caught, I think. There's a collision. I think, I'm pretty sure the fielder actually has taken the catch. But he almost collided with Broad, who doesn't want to go anywhere. The Australians are saying well done. And Broad's on his way. Seen off by the umpire. He fended it off. It's a nasty one under his armpit. And a terrific catch, I think, by Voges coming in there from short leg. He collided with Broad, first of all. He sort of had to take the ball under his feet almost. It's fended away. No doubt that's come off the glove. Nasty one. But Voges had a long way to come in. Hands outstretched. He took that just an inch off the ground and then actually slid into Broad.
Oh,
tremendous ground there.
Stuart Broad's now turned around. He's seen the replay on the screen. He's got within 20 yards of the boundary and he's walking back. He's seen that as Voges caught the ball, it actually hit the ground as well. He caught it in the end of his fingers.
Yeah.
Voges doesn't know this is grazed the ground.
This is interesting. Who decides here?
Well, there were people on the balcony screaming, "Stop, Stuart, don't go."
Well, but the umpires haven't done anything.
I mean,
he saw him off, but now we are actually looking at a replay. But I don't know if there's an official replay.
For delivery. Can we move on to the front
door,
please?
Ears, it is.
Let's have a listen. It's been referred, presumably by Broad. If we're hearing DRS...
Yeah, give us your best view.
I'm not sure it will have been from Broad because it's too far after. It's definitely not out. You see, clearly, he catches it, but the ball is...
The ball's on the ground, I think, and then he picks it up again.
Yeah,
although, you see what the crowd think. Broad's walking back again. Mitchell Johnson doesn't look very pleased. Let's have a listen.
Stuart Broad's striding back to the middle.
Want to listen to?
Yeah, please. That looks like to me it's touching the ground there.
There you go. That's the voice of the third umpire, Chris Gaffney. And we're now very zoomed in.
Thank you.
It's 100% not out.
That's not out. That is not out.
Yeah, that's conclusive to me. I'm going to go back on ground. Thanks, Mark.
I'm a bit surprised. I feel they didn't know that the ball was on the ground.
I've got conclusive evidence that the ball is touching the ground.
There you go.
It's on the ground. I'm going to recommend that you give him. Yeah, not out.
Not out. Not out. Well, that'll be a talking point. I mean, it was a brilliant effort to get in there. The umpire gave him out. It very clearly was on the ground, and it was actually quite a sort of weight on the ball as it was on the ground. But, well, that'll get people talking.
Johnson goes in, bowls full to Broad, who hits him uppishly down the ground, and it's coming up towards the boundary beneath us. The chase is on. I think the ball's got just enough on it. It has. The crowd will tell you that.
Well, we were talking about bowling hundreds just now. Mitchell Johnson's reached his, which I think is why there's such a big round of applause. It's the 21st hundred he's conceded in Test cricket, which is the joint second most for Australians, with Terry Grimmett behind Shane Warne's 40.
Well, I was saying at the start of the programme, when we're all, they're all standing up and applauding him, as if he'd actually scored a hundred as a batsman. He's taken his cap off. Well, he's joining in. He's taken his cap off and acknowledged his century. He didn't take it too well in 2009. Actually, getting the crowd on side like that is not a bad way of just diffusing it a bit. Here's Stark beginning a new over, and that's a glorious shot from Moeen. Crashed through the offside. Here is Stark into Moeen, and he gets a thick inside edge down to the fine leg boundary. And what a streaky way to bring up his half century. Well, he's played some glorious shots. That wasn't one of them, but he's still four. And it's a half century for Moeen Ali. His third 50 in 12 test matches. And England's scoring rate now is above four and over. And Moeen on 56. Johnson bowls to him full. And he drives edges over the slips down towards third man for four. Well, it's going England's way here.
Round the wicket, in he bowls. And Broad swings. There's a peel there. And he's gone. And that was... he was given out there. Was that LBW?
Caught.
It was caught.
He had a slog. First ball, Henry, had a slog. Pitched outside of stump, had a slog over wide mid-wicket. Didn't even have a look at the bowler.
No.
And he's really very unlucky because hadn't caught it.
Well, yes, that is indeed an irony, isn't it? Because Haddon hasn't caught many things that matter. So Broad is gone for 18. He's done England proud. 395 for 8 now, the total. Lyon again in, bowls to him, and he has a great swing at that, and is going to get four runs to Cowshot corner there. It was really a slog. I suppose you might just term it a slog sweep. He hit it over fairly straightish mid-wicket, picked his gap well, and that has taken him to 64. It's brought up the 400. That's what the crowd are cheering about. 400 for 8, which is a pretty good result for England when you think they were 43 for 3 yesterday morning. And here comes Stark. He's up to the wicket now. He's there. He bowls. And that's driven beautifully there by Moeen. That four runs. That was as good a shot as any we've seen all match. Through extra cover. Really lovely. It was fairly full length. And he hit it absolutely beautifully. And it's a Lyon in. Bowls to Moeen down the wicket. And he hits this high. He could begin to be caught there at long off. Or has he gone over the top?
Over the top.
I think it has indeed. One of the ball boys there is picking it up and throwing it back to Mitchell Stark, and well, Moeen took him on and he's got away with it. It's four runs.
Driving, trying to get that wicket-taking ball. Two slips and a gully there as he runs in and bowls, and Moeen Ali drives off the edge and he's caught it slip. Caught by Watson. There's the big wicket. The fourth one for Mitchell Stark here, and a fine innings of attack. Daredevil has come to an end from Moeen Ali on 77. He's done a wonderful job. Great entertainment this morning. And Michael Vaughan, it's 8 for 419. He comes up, Anderson's first ball is short, and he parries and almost gloves that. There's an appeal from those behind the wicket. It was pretty close to his gloves. It's not out. They're going upstairs. They're doing the review. It was an awkward one for the umpire to judge because...
Thanks, Murray. Mark from Chris Bitter Review for Port Mine. Front foot, please.
We're going up to Chris Gavaney to see what's what here. There was bounce. There was no problem with the front foot. Let's hear what the third umpire has to say as we go through the protocols here. Front foot's perfect. No problem there. Let's get down to the other end and see what happened. And what's he telling us?
Okay, we're not... probably going to tell me a lot there. Can we try hotspot? Probably offside.
We're having some forensic examination of a bouncing ball that's very close to the gloves of Jimmy Anderson, the very first ball that he received.
Yeah, right. It's not conclusive.
And it's not conclusive.
Over, but it looks like the ball may have passed the gloves, so I'm going to recommend you stay with your decision of not out.
There you are. It took quite some time. They went through everything possible to try and come up with some evidence, and they couldn't find any. And Jimmy Anderson survives. 9 for 430. Stark goes in, and Anderson's charging him. He's bowled. 5 for Stark. That was a bold stroke, I think you'd say, from the number 11. He tried to get inside and hit that, but he didn't. Tried to hit it over cover or something, but a good full-length ball from Stark finishes off a very enterprising England batting performance today. They've added 87 runs for the loss of their last 3 wickets, and they've done it in just over 70 minutes of play. So that's the situation in Cardiff. England all out, 430.
In goes Broad again. Bowles swinging in, hits him on the pad. Now, there's a confident appeal. They're all leaping all over the place. It's been given not out. Again, it did look leg stumpish. It swung in. And Alistair Cook's being challenged. Yeah, he is going to review this. Now, Chris Thanks, Rogers Murray. Immediately looked at his bat.
Chris, we review for LBW. Front foot, please.
If it's hitting anything, it's leg stump. But from here, at least it looked to have done quite a lot. But again, we'll...
It's a fair delivery. Can we move on? Thanks.
It's a fair delivery. Only just, mind you. Broad's got to be careful on that front foot. Now, let's look and see if we can find an edge here, because Rogers, it seemed to me, seemed to be touching his bat.
Oh.
OK, we might just need to check a hot spot, eh? Just, it looks like there could be some bat there.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's what Chris Gaffney's picked up. He said there could be some bat there. I thought the way that Rogers walked up the wicket. Yeah, he has.
Okay,
he's
we've got
it.
An inside edge. Have we got front on hot spot?
He's
just
that.
Make sure it's bat first, not paired.
Well, I have to say, the short leg fielder should have heard that. you hear these inside edges, don't you?
Well, that's the previous LBW shout.
Yeah, we'll just double check with RTS, but it looks like it's bat first, then
yeah,
paired.
So they're lining up Murray Erasmus.
Murray, not out. Yeah, bat first. You can start with the original decision, not out. Well done.
There you go. I assume umpire Erasmus heard it.
Again to Rogers, full, and this time he finds the gap on the offside. A drive backward of square, and the ball hits the rope now. It's gone away for 4. Found the gap between gully and point.
And it is Anderson again, coming in, pounding up the weed, bowling down. One had beaten him again. He's gone. Is he gone? He's been given caught. That was a very, very good one. It was LBW. He came forward. It went off, or half forward, off the pad, and it sped away towards the slips. They're talking about it, the two batsmen. And he pushed half forward from the crease, and they are going to send it upstairs to the third umpire.
It seems to have... I think this is pitched just outside.
So do I.
Looks like it's just paired. Just a double check. Can we just check hotspot offside, please?
You don't need to do that, Chris. He didn't hit it, but it may have just pitched outside leg. It's definitely hitting the stumps. The fact that he's been given...
Looks like nothing here. Just RTS, yes, please, just to confirm.
The fact he's been given will work in the bowler's favour.
Umpire's call, yes.
It's going to come down to a Hawkeye.
That's great.
It is,
thank
isn't
you, Mark.
It?
Can we just move on to ball tricking when you're... It's ready, thanks.
It's definitely not too high. So just below the knee
here
roll.
We go, Kumar.
Here we are. Outside the leg stump. Yes,
Kumar,
outside the leg stump. Not out.
Outside leg.
And,
I'm going to recommend that you change your decision from out to not out. Just stand by. You're on screen.
I love the way he says, I recommend you change your decision. If the umpire said, oh, damned if I'm going to...
Yeah, it was a good 2 inches outside.
Yes, it was. Here's Anderson again in to Warner. He's up to the hit. Warner comes forward, driving through the covers. That's a fine stroke. That's going to be 4 runs. And goodness me, this Warner's a plucky fighter.
And bowls to Rogers. Down the leg side, he flicks him away for 4. Help the ball on its way from outside the line of the leg stump. And the 50 is up for Australia in reply to England's 430. So it's Anderson from the river end. He bowls, Warner plays. He edges and he's caught! Brilliantly caught by Cook at slip. That's a ripper of a catch. A little bit of angle bounce, an outside edge, and he's on his way. A huge wicket for England. Warner caught Cook. Bowled Anderson, 17.
Yeah, wonderful catch from Alistair Cook, diving away to his right-hand side. You don't often see this at first dip diving behind the wicketkeeper. Mm. Jos Buttler maybe should have gone for this himself, but it was a really, really good catch from Cook. Jimmy Anderson again, angling it across the left-handers. They know that that's where David Warner is susceptible to nicking it. Well, any left-hander is, to be honest, if you put it in the right place. And he got it exactly spot on. Thick edge, and Cook took a belter. Very good from Alistair Cook.
Anderson goes in at Smith on naught, and he's edging, and it doesn't carry, does it? Did that bounce in front of Cook at slip? It's hit him. It's hurt him. He's down. They want some attention. It's hit him amidships.
I think it has.
Yes, it's hit him amidships. He's in pain. He is in a lot of pain. It was a false stroke, lack of pace in the pitch. It bounced and it struck him in the dress circle or somewhere. And he is down on the ground. He is writhing in pain.
I tell you, Alistair.
And you're
Cook,
not wearing a box at slip.
No. Well, I don't really know how to describe it. I think it squashed something against his leg.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
The pain.
I always enjoyed watching the Pakistani batsmen when they get hit in that area and they're lying on the back. Their batsman at the other end comes down, grabs them by the feet and sort of pumps their legs a bit. What that's going to do, I have no idea. I'm glad I didn't see any of the English, any of the other English players doing that. But, yeah, not much fun. Cookie's going off maybe for some ice.
Ice bath.
So still not much fun.
No.
Poor old Cookie.
And he gets some applause from the crowd. Sympathetic applause.
Yeah, I think every guy in the crowd sort of shuddered when that happened.
Shut up.
You can't help but smile. You look around England players when he was on the ground, they're all having a little bit of a smile, and unfortunately you can't help but do anything else.
Here goes Wood, pitching up, and he's driven, and driven through the covers for four. Yeah, that was a whitish half volley, and Rogers seized on it with an excellent stroke. That's one of his strengths.
He's one away for another half century, and he gets it there, dabbing mowing down towards the third man boundary. It won't be four, the fielder's after it. Koska, the subfielder, knocks it back inside the rope, sends in the return. They were thinking of coming back for three, but probably just the thought there for Smith was, what's Koska's arm like? Because I haven't seen much of him. They stayed on two, and Rogers equals the world record. Seven successive half centuries.
That's correct, the fifth player to make that. 74 balls, six fours in his 50.
Wood bowls full, driven away by Rogers, pass Broad at point. It's going towards the boundary, and it gets there now, with Broad trailing 10 yards behind. And Australia's 100 is up. It's come in the 26th over, so their scoring rate is good as well.
And Moeen Ali again to Smith, waiting with his bat in the air. He down the wicket, drives and clumps that one straight. And has that gone all the way? No, it's four runs. Signaled out by Kumar Dharmasena, the umpire. But Smith is after Moeen Ali. Watch this space. It's going to be good. Moeen again into Smith. Smith down the wicket, driving. That's gone through mid-off. Over the top now for four more. Well, Smith has come in with a purpose, and that is to take battle to Moeen, and he's doing it magnificently.
Moeen Ali, right arm over. Smith's down, and he miscues, and he's caught. He's caught. He's popped the ball up to Cook out there on the onside. He got in an absolute tangle as he was coming down. He checked his shot, and he's leading-edged it to short mid-on, and that's a huge wicket for England. Smith out to 33, and it's two for 129. Broad versus Clark. He runs in, and Clark gets a full ball. Edges it just wide of second slip for a streaky four. That was in the air for a while, past the outstretched fingers of Bell. That second slip, and it went down to the boundary for four. He was feeling for that delivery. Broad bowls the ball. It's driven straight past the bowler through the legs of Michael Clark. It's going up towards the straight boundary below us for four. Rogers, 74. Old Man River, he just keeps rolling along. As Moeen Ali bowls to Clark, and Clark back, and he pulls the ball, and he pulls it well out to the boundary for four.
Broad on his way, shadow to his right. Two men on the drive on the offside. Short and pulled down in the air, down towards the long leg. Moeen's there. It's gone for six. He got his hands to it. But he was over the boundary when he did so. It was always going to be six, that.
Broad is in. Bowls now to Roger. Ooh, pulls away from that, and it's gone away all over the top. It was, he banged it in short, and it went right away, all the way to the boundary. And here comes Wood again, up to the wicket, in now, bursts Rogers. Rogers goes, and he's gone. Behind! He's gone, he got the edge. Wood can hardly believe it, and he's caught one of the fielders, and he's throwing him around. Tremendous. England have taken the third wicket, 180-4-2. And we said at the earlier in the over that that bowling outside the off stump would might find the edge at any moment. It was not Clark's bat, it was Rogers' bat. What an important wicket, and Rogers out for 95, which means I think that he's now got the world record for scoring consecutive 50s without converting to 100. He's got 7, isn't that right? It is. Andrew nods his head in agreement. So a tremendous moment for England. They desperately needed that wicket. They've got it, 180 for 3. Rogers goes in for a tremendous round of applause, well deserved. What a good workaday cricketer he is. He knows his limitations. He plays within them. Reminds me a bit of another left-hander, John Edridge, of whom one could say the same thing, really. Here's Wood. He's in now. Bowls to Vogt. Vogt goes back and gets a run. Hits it hard into the ground. It bounces over the top of between Gully and Forstip, and it's chased down to the boundary by Stokes. He's got 4 runs.
Stokes tries again. Bowls to Clark, and Clark gets his away again, this time off the thick outside edge, down towards the third man boundary. I think the ball's going to win. Yes, it does.
So we've got a slip and an under the nose on the offside as Moeen Ali has Clark driving back. Gordon bowled. He's out. He's hit it straight back to Moeen Ali. Clark caught and bowled. That's a big wicket for England, and they are celebrating as they might. Clark took on Moeen Ali and drove it hard but straight at him. And the fourth wicket goes down, and Moeen Ali has 2 of them.
Well, it's a good catch from Ali. He's having a terrific day. 77 runs, 2 wickets now, and the 2 key wickets of Smith and Michael Clark. It's well floated up there. And you felt that Clark was itching to dance down and try and whack him in the river. Just too full to get the elevation. Got a bit too close to it. And went to go over the top and just couldn't get any height on it. If it had gone along the floor, I think it would have been fine, but he went to go aerial and just couldn't get any loft on the ball. Really good catch, it went sharp.
It's Moeen once more from the far end. Bowls, and he's heaved that massively through the leg side for 4. Slog sweep.
Here's Stokes bowling full outside the off stump, and he's driven it to a short extra cover, and Stokes has got the wicket. Voges can't believe it. It was well pitched up from Stokes, and Voges just lost his discipline, his patience for a moment, and hit that in the air to short extra cover, and he is on his way, and England have got a really useful wicket just before the close. 258 for 5.
You're listening to the best of Grandstand's coverage of the cricket.
Grandstand Cricket.
On ABC Grandstand Digital.
Australia to resume on day 3 at 5 for 264, trailing England by 166. Shane Watson on 29, night watchman Nathan Lyon with him on 6. Our coverage later today from 7:30pm, that's Eastern Standard Time, on Grandstand Digital, online and the ABC mobile phone app. For more details on our coverage and how you can best access it, along with our Friday night footy broadcasts in the AFL and NRL, both on local radio, head to our homepage at abc.net.au/grandstand and click on the broadcast schedule link. Grandstand at Stumps can be downloaded as a podcast via iTunes or listened to online. Until tonight, from Grandstand at Stumps, bye for now.